the home stretch. Hour three. We're in that 9 o'clock zone. Here in the Carter Subaru Studios. My name is Aaron Mason. I'm filling in for G. Scott. Cairo Knights. Frank Shires.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir, for doing the news. It's always nice to be informed. I actually have a little bit of information about that UW Medicine scandal.
The leak.
Yeah. The whole situation over there. That's right. Like Frank said, on December 4th, something went horribly wrong in the computer system of the medical center at the University of Washington. Described by a spokesperson from the university as a, quote, internal human error, the personal medical information of nearly 1 million patients was made available to the public. Now, the information, luckily, did not include any Social Security numbers, but their names and their medical numbers and highly personal information about their visits were displayed. Is there anything more personal than medical information? I'm not sure there is. If you're curious, if maybe you were one of these people affected, they're going to be sending out, they're spending $1 million on mailings to anyone whose data was exposed. And so if you're waiting for that, here's the deal. UW Medicine includes the university's medical school, as well as Harborview Medical Center, the UW Medical Center, Northwest Hospital and Medical Center, Valley Medical Center, and more than two dozen neighborhood clinics scattered all around the Puget Sound region. Valley Medical Center spokeswoman said their data is maintained separately and was not part of this breach. So that's a little bit of good news for those folks. One of the victims of this data breach, her name's Megan Flory. She talked with Cairo 7 TV about what happened when she Googled her name.
Having things out on Google like that is scary. And, you know, it could be upsetting or devastating for somebody.
And with leaks of personal information, Megan says you oftentimes assume the worst.
If you don't know what it means, it's maybe easy to kind of assume that it's the worst.
Yeah, I think that's fair. In total, the breach took place over the course of 3 weeks. 3 weeks where everyone involved had no control over their personal medical information or who had access to it. So the chief medical officer of UW Medicine, his name's Dr. Tim Dellett. He held a press conference to address this leak and explained how the information was available to the public for such a long time.
A test environment was pointed to a production environment. The test environment was allowed to be accessed by the internet, such as in the case with Google.
And he went on to tell how in the world people could just Google records.
The Google web crawler accessed that information and indexed that file, essentially cached or saved that information.
Now, does that mean then that information is there? If Google caches something, if it stores something, I don't know much about how the internet works, except that stuff never seems to really go away, even if you delete it. But Dellett is reassuring everyone that it's gone and that nothing nefarious was done with any of the information.
We have no evidence of misuse of this information, and we've only had one patient who's been confirmed to have actually seen their information.
Now, here's a little personal info about me. I've been to the UW Medical Center. My doctors are part of that network. Perhaps my information was some of this information. I don't know for sure. But when there's this trend with doctors and hospitals and such that everything is sort of available online. There are these systems. There's this app you can sign up for. You can check your records. Everything's posted. And while there are definitely security measures and there are people much smarter than I making sure that this kind of stuff doesn't happen, it still happens. And again, I'll use the term that UW Medicine used, internal human error. Like, there's always going to be a possibility for human error. And that, I don't know. Do you get nervous about the internet, David, about what's out there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I find myself so many times every week being like, I'm done. It's over. I'm done with the internet. But I keep crawling back to it because it's so good. That good, good internet stuff.
It keeps pulling me back in. Yeah, for sure. The only thing I've really successfully left is Facebook.
Yes, me too, actually.
Yeah,
as a
really?
Matter of fact, yeah. I just, like, I don't know. There's nothing there that I really want to see that I don't, like, everything that I would need to see would be my family posting pictures of their, you know, their kids and all that stuff. But all of that now is available through the big family text chain that I'm a part of.
There you go.
Which we call the Hawk Squad, because it began, I made the group so that we could all talk about the Seahawks together, and then it's now flourished into just the family message chain, which is awesome. It's way better than Facebook.
That brings a tear to my heart, if that's a thing.
You should get that checked out. Maybe not at UW Medicine, but get it checked out.
David with the timely jokes.
I'm playing the Drew part right now.
Yeah, that's
not very
right.
Well, but right there it was fine.
No, that was very, very Barth-esque, your quick wit. Miss that guy. My family's not on Facebook. Like, none of them. I think they're all just, like, suspicious. That's my guess.
As you should be. All the stuff that's come out about Facebook recently should make someone very suspicious.
So here's where I stand on this. I am no longer on Facebook, but I still use Instagram. And Instagram is owned by Facebook. It's the same company, more or less. So
I did not think about that.
Because
I am technically on Instagram, although I haven't gone on in ages now. But I figured, like, Instagram's pretty safe. It's just pictures or whatever.
Right.
No, it's under the umbrella of Facebook. So that makes sense.
They got your info. They're tracking your every move. Put your tinfoil helmets on, everybody. The day of reckoning is nigh. That's what I think. Okay, how about onto something? This is great. We got a new American in the house. And by the house, I mean the United States of America. Tom Green. Now, I am a child of... I was a teenager in the 90s. I graduated high school in 1999. And in the late 90s, if you were like a 16-year-old boy, Tom Green was the funniest person alive. He really was the first person to do these prank shows. He was just very odd. You see this later with, like, the Jackass crew, like that Johnny Knoxville and Bam Margera and those guys. They really took a page from Tom Green, pranking his parents, stuff like that. And he's a stand-up comedian. He's been performing in the U.S. for like 20 years, never been a citizen. He was just on, I don't watch the show, but he was on Celebrity Big Brother recently. I believe he was voted he was like the favorite. Like, he got like the
no surprise there.
Right? He's just a good dude. But he is Canadian. He is from our neighbor to the north. Love me some Canada. And so does Tom. But he recently decided that he was going to get his dual citizenship for both the U.S. and Canada. And he is on his way. And so there are, like, requirements to become a citizen. There are tests. There are things you have to know. And I often think, how much more do foreigners know about my country than your average civics student? And here's a clip of Tom demonstrating his knowledge of the U.S. presidents. If you've got a quiz coming up out there in civics class, get out your pen and paper or pull out your phone and write this down.
I can name all the presidents, by the way. George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, John Quincy Adams, Andrew Jackson, William Henry Harrison, Martin Van Buren, John Tyler, James K. Polk, Zachary Taylor, Millard Fillmore, Franklin Pierce, James Buchanan, Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Johnson, Ulysses S. Grant, Rutherford B. Hayes, James Garfield, Chester A. Arthur.
I feel like we should have some yakety sacks under this.
Benjamin,
you know,
Harrison,
what I mean?
Grover Cleveland, William McKinley, Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard,
I love Roosevelt.
Woodrow Wilson,
it's solid.
William Howard Taft, Warren G. Harding. You know, I could keep going, but, you know.
But, you know, oh, God, I love it. Tom, welcome to the United States of America. Now, our next story, I would like to have serve as a potential PSA for anyone out there who is considering getting a tattoo on your eyeball. You better hurry up and get that done, because the window is closing. With me to explain this situation is another friend from MyNorthwest.com, the fine man, the fine reporter, Mr. Dyer Oxley.
Hello, how's it going?
Hi, buddy. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for letting us know the window's closing. That's, whew.
You got to get it done now.
Yeah.
No more putting that off. Move it up the list.
And the reason you got to get it done now is because there is a bill down in Olympia being considered in, right now it's in the Health and Wellness Committee in the House. 17 sponsors for this bill.
Okay.
Solely to ban scleral tattooing. Do you know what scleral tattooing is?
Scleral tattooing.
Yeah, and I might be saying that wrong. I'm sorry, I went to public school, but that's just... That's how it's coming out. So scleral tattooing is injecting ink or dye into the section of your eye that's the white part.
Sure.
Not the cornea, not that center part, the white part. It's a very fibrous material. It's kind of like a layer of that fibrous material and then liquid on top. In between that, you can kind of inject something in there. And I talked to one of the lawmakers who's one of the primary sponsors of this and asking, like, why did this even come up?
The optometrists and the ophthalmologists came, through their government affairs person came to me. In some ways, it seems like it could be kind of humorous, but it's actually a pretty serious thing because this is such a delicate, membrane that it's very easy to do damage to your eye, and it's just too risky. They think, the professionals think it's too risky, and so that's the concern.
You know? Okay. First of all, I would like to comment on that.
Okay.
Because, it's risky. You're shooting ink into your eyeball. How big an issue is this? Like, are people really going out and getting this done in any sort of way that you would have to set up a law? I know you said they're trying to get ahead of it,
yeah.
But I go to Burning Man. Like, I know some weird people.
Yeah.
And I don't know anybody. I don't think I've ever seen a scleral tattoo.
Let me ask you this, Aaron. Have you ever been to prison?
No, I have not.
Okay. I talked with James Hillary. He's a tattoo artist down at Seattle's Tattoo Emporium. And he basically told me how this all works. That one, this is not the tattoo gun you think of. This is an actual medical instrument, a syringe that you would use. So first of all, this isn't really the tattooing you're thinking of. It's just a term that they're using to throw at this. But he told me he hasn't really heard of this. The only time he's actually heard of it is like maybe in a prison.
Recent thing, and it's rarely indulged. It seems rather ridiculous that it merits legislation.
He goes to international conventions for tattoos.
Sure.
He has been in the industry 30 years or so, and as far as he can tell, he's never even seen this. And so he's one, very wary, because anytime legislation comes around for tattoos, they generally go pretty far. And so as a tattoo artist, he's worried. He was worried about when they were doing that whole private contractor thing with hairdressers and barbers.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because that's how they operate, too, as tattoo artists.
Right.
So he's a little worried about that. But at the end of the day, he was kind of like, yeah, but where is this even happening?
Right.
So on one end, we have the industry saying, hey, this is bad. On the other end, you have people saying, hey, where is it?
And I think there's the issue, too, of a combination of two things. One, is this really what we need to be spending our government time and resources doing? And two, if people want to do something to themselves, don't they have the right to do that?
So that is a very good question. I did ask that to Representative Thuringer. He basically said that there is a cost that we can associate with this.
What is the long-term cost to us as a society if someone in maybe a less than rational state decides to go through this procedure and then they're blind for the rest of their life? There are costs to everybody, including the individual who might, make this rash decision to inject a fluid into their sclera and end up damaging their eyesight.
That said, there are people that are doing this out there. I asked him locally, hey, are there the numbers? Do we know where this is happening in Washington?
Right.
There is no data on that. He said there might be some, but he did not know. What is clear is if you look on a national level and even in Canada, you use the Google machine, and stuff will come up, and it's basically all horror stories of people that have damaged their eyes, had to get their eyes removed, are in chronic pain now with their eyes because that they did this. So it has happened. It is happening out there. How common? That's debatable.
Sure. Yeah. Speaking of common, let's use a little common sense.
Okay.
Folks, don't put ink in your eyeball. I think that's
the lesson.
That's where I'm standing on this issue.
You know, that's my grandma told me as a kid, and I've taken that advice every day since.
I'm a fan of tattoos. I love tattoos.
Right.
I only have one, but I love seeing beautiful art in any case. And there are a lot of tattoos out there.
I wonder. I wonder about even calling this tattooing because it's in a league of its own. There's another thing.
It's a permanent inking.
It's an inking. So. Yeah, there's another thing. Is it called microblading? It's like kind of like a eyebrow makeup thing. I'm not as familiar with it, but it's something that is related, and they call it tattooing, quote unquote.
Right.
And they've been trying to pass legislation on that as well, but they're using a tattoo term.
Are you talking about getting like your eyebrows tattooed so you never have to do, or eyeliner? Tattoo.
It's similar to that James was telling me about it. It's temporary in some cases permanent. They're using a tattoo-like gun of sorts, and it just kind of goes up along your eyebrows and creates a line, creates a very definition-like eyebrow.
Okay.
All right, and so your eyebrows look great for a while.
On fleek, as they used to say.
Yes, as my grandma used to say.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Your grandma was on top of things.
She was on fleek.
The eagerness with which you said, I wish everybody could have seen your face.
Yeah.
It was a big old smile. Well, Dyer, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for bringing our attention to this issue. Once again, if you've got plans to inject ink into your eyeball, you better hurry up because 17 legislators in the state of Washington have decided to devote their time and resources to banning this procedure. Dyer, Oxley, MyNorthwest.com. You're working on any stories? What do you got going on over there?
If I was, I wouldn't tell you.
Ooh.
You got to wait till you can click.
MyNorthwest.com. Check it out, everybody. Coming up next on the show, you know what time it is. She wasn't here last night. She'll tell you all about why. But coming up after this break, Stacy Ross is on the program. You are listening to Cairo Nights, Cairo Radio 97.3. Say it with me now, FM. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Aaron Mason filling in for G. Scott. And you know what time it is.
Stacy's on. Turn up the microphone. She's talking sports, so you're about to learn a ton. At 9:33, she comes in to talk with G. And you know from the song that now's the time when Stacy's on.
Stacy Ross, hello.
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 Hi.
You were not here yesterday.
I wasn't.
A noticeable absence. I felt it in my heart.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
Why weren't you here, Stace?
Because I was on Seattle Sports at Night, the new Seattle Sports at Night, with Jake Heaps and Curtis Rogers from 7 to 9 every night on 710 ESPN Seattle. Yesterday, we were on a bit later, so normally I come on here at 9:30. I just hop on over after, but we went after Wazoo Hoops yesterday.
So we
went on at 9 p.m., but we'll be on at 7 p.m. tonight.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You guys are all good.
I'm carrying the show on my back.
I haven't heard Jake very much, but I do love me a Curtis.
Yeah, Curtis is wonderful. Jake is great. He knows a ton of stuff. Yesterday, he was getting so hyped, like in between segments. I think we were all trying to kind of keep ourselves excited. It's a first show, and you don't want to. You can tell when the energy is low when all you hear is a voice. So, and we have cameras in the studio. So at one point, he's standing up and he's kind of like doing this kind of like side to side kind of shift while he's talking. He's just talking about like a franchise tag or something. And me and Curtis are sitting down, just looking at him. And someone texts in on the text line because they can see on the site that he's standing. And they just say, sit down.
Sit down, Heap.
And in all caps, he said, you sit down.
That's rad. Congrats.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little sports stories.
Let's do it.
I found out.
Yeah.
That, first of all, I'm a fan of the Olympics.
I am too. I never watch any of these sports. Do you watch any of the sports during the not Olympic times?
I will watch curling as much as possible.
Okay, that's a weird response I wasn't expecting.
Yes, that's a little bit left field, but I love that game.
Do you like
sweeping? I've done it before. I've done it once. I went curling one time.
You swept once.
And I swept once. I hurled, I think, is what you call it.
I don't know anything about curling.
Flinging the stone? I don't know. But yeah, so not generally.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I just have that weird curling exception.
But I agree. The Olympics are fun. Everyone in the world is watching.
The Olympics are great. The IOC, the like governing body over the Olympics, is a nightmarish hellscape of an organization.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, about what you'd expect. They're no FIFA, but I think they're pretty close.
I was going to say, it's always like that, isn't it? The controlling body of something. It was like with USA Gymnastics. It just, you realize issues go to the top.
Yeah, that's right. So they announced the 2024 games are going to be in Paris.
In Paris.
France.
Yeah, France.
2024. That's real good.
Thank you.
That's amazing how you pulled.
Yeah, only thing I can do. If you were like a French accent, all I could do would be that, and I couldn't say any words.
I'm just amazed at how you pulled a baguette out of your jacket.
Ah, yes,
quickly.
I bring this with me everywhere I go.
Just have it ready to go. So they're adding four new sports in what seems like a pretty blatant effort to get younger people to watch the Olympics.
I'm not mad at it, though.
But that's the thing.
Who really is at home like the Olympics just aren't what they used to? Like, who's real mad? Like, who's an Olympic traditionalist who's just super angry about this and
right.
is writing letters, something from an AOL email account about how upset they are about this?
Always an AOL account. The four new sports are skateboarding.
Okay.
Jump down. The X Games have been killing it for a long time.
Yeah.
Climbing, which this year, what was that? Free solo?
It's like free climbing. It's basically just people who aren't afraid of dying is what that sport is.
It's, I agree.
Like if you've ever wanted to climb without a safety net or any ropes or anything and you're just like, I just want to test how long I can do this.
Yeah. What happens to me when I know I'm going to die? Let's find out by climbing.
Yes.
Surfing, killer.
Okay.
And my favorite, breakdancing.
So I didn't know that you told me this was a big deal in France.
Yeah, apparently they have these like big breakdancing competitions around the world. There's you know, you can be the top breaker, and France like kills it all the time. It's still a thing in their culture.
And it is really cool when you see good breakdancers, because here's the thing. I think that especially maybe older folks hear breakdancing and they think this is stupid. But do you know how hard it is to break dance when you're legitimately like a good break dancer?
It's impossible.
So difficult.
Yes, it's impossible. I can't even do the thing. You know when they do the little dance like this?
Yeah.
Like they're getting ready to break?
Yeah.
Like they're standing on the outside. They're going to get on that cardboard. I can't even do that right.
I can't even lift my own body weight. Like at all. I mean, respect. Like I'm not going to hate on anyone.
No, you can't.
If you can't do 10 push-ups, you aren't allowed to say what sport deserves to be in the Olympics. That's just my thought. You are not qualified to say whether or not someone is athletic enough to be in the Olympics if you literally can't walk up two flights of stairs.
Will you start, please, Stacey, for me, a governing body over opinions? And you set the qualifications for what you must meet these requirements in order to have an opinion about this particular situation.
Yep.
I am so into that.
Who's going to govern me, though? We're going to get right back to where we started.
Who's going to watch
the Watchmen? These are where the problems start.
Stacey is drunk on power.
This is what it feels like.
Just the idea of it. Salivating. I love it. Also, hey, another story.
Yeah.
Nike's having a bad week.
I saw this.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you intro this, but I already know what's coming.
Well, Zion Williamson, he plays. Does
power
he play for Duke?
At Duke, yep. Projected number one pick in the draft, best basketball player in the country right now.
Okay.
College basketball player.
So this isn't just
this isn't just a dude.
This isn't just
not
a
that
dude.
It wouldn't matter, right?
Right, right.
First of all.
Still a bad look for Nike, what happened.
Still a bad look, but especially a bad look with the top prospect in the nation and someone who didn't get any money to wear these shoes.
Yeah. How about that? His shoe blew up. Zion Williamson, Duke was playing North Carolina.
Not like really popular. Like, oh, it blew up.
Yeah,
Everyone had his shoe the next day. I bought a pair. Your mom bought a pair. No, that's not what you mean.
It actually exploded. He was making like a, he was making a fast cut. He was changing.
He planted his leg.
And snizzap.
His leg, his foot shot through the bottom of his shoe. And he ended up spraining his knee as a result. Like, he planted and it bent awkwardly because it shot through his shoe. And he was taken out of the game. And this was like, it felt like it was like 30 seconds into this huge matchup. Like, Barack Obama was there.
Good Lord.
Sports Center. Like, it was this big deal between UNC and Duke. And the top player ends up being declared out of the game with a knee sprain after this.
That's like when Drew Barrymore got killed right away in Scream.
I don't think it's anything like that.
No?
Actually. No.
Uh-uh. Okay. Well, I was trying. Hi, I'm 38. So this is a bad look on Nike. Of course, Twitter gets all into the action.
Because that's what it's there for.
I like brand accounts. I'm not normally a fan of brand accounts, like trying to be too cool.
Then you don't follow Wendy's and Burger King and DiGiorno, the best brand account that exists. And I'll say it. I don't even care.
Okay, so you're into it.
I'm not being paid by DiGiorno. They just have a great Twitter account.
Stacy can't be bought. I know this about you.
Nope. I can't.
Puma. This wouldn't have happened in Pumas.
Nope.
Like right away. And then they had to delete it. I don't know why.
Well, they deleted it because it ended up being a serious injury.
Well, that's true. I keep forgetting this.
Yes. And because I think the debate, do you want to say the other one, though? Because I know you're excited about B-Dub's tweet, too.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Yo, Nike, you guys need a beer? Checkers and rallies. We'll pick up the tab. Or if it makes you feel better, we can just split it down the middle.
There are a lot of funny 23-year-old interns at these companies
that are killing it right now.
No, I think Puma was right to delete that because it ended up being like a pretty painful injury for him. And it brought up a really interesting question about amateurism. These huge deals that they make with Nike to wear all exclusively Nike products, where everyone from the AD or coach or whatever down gets paid except for the players who are wearing them.
Yeah.
And obviously it's a freak accident, and it sounds like I'm making a mountain out of a molehill, but this is actually part of a much larger and more important conversation about what players put on the line without being rewarded at all. And we don't have to get into that debate today because I'll take anyone on.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it last night because UW and WSU both came out and said we're not into this unless, like everybody else, we all do it at the same time. It's like when you're standing on the dock with your friends about to jump into a cold lake.
I'm not jumping in until you do it, too.
We'll all count to three. And
then you have that friend that pretends to do it and you jump in and they don't.
That's the Cougars, in my mind.
Yep, the Cougars.
That's what I think. Stacy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow, I hope.
Yes, definitely. I'm excited.
Me?
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Stacy.
Yeah, bye.
And we'll see you after these words, Cairo Knights. Well, it's time to shut this show down. We've reached the end of the program, our 3 hours together. Thank you all for hanging out. It's been an absolute pleasure filling in for G. Scott. I'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Might bring in some of the same old cast of characters. Maybe a Stacy, maybe a Rachel, get some of the My Northwest crew. Of course, David Burbank is going to be helming the ship.
I thought you were helming the ship. Wait a second. I don't know how to helm the ship.
No, I'm like the mermaid they stick on the front of the boat. That's me. That's my job.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's only one thing left to do, my good friend, and that is, of course, our recommendations. David, I would like you to go first.
Oh, yes, please. Okay, so I have a couple of recommendations. One of them is just a film that's been out for a while now, so it's not really a recommendation.
Okay.
I saw it a while ago, but it is a film called Sorry to Bother You.
Yes.
And it's about basically, it stars, oh boy, I don't know any of the names of like anyone or anything.
I can tell you it was directed by Boots Riley.
Yes.
Who's a very interesting character. Mm-hmm. He was actually a guest on Your Last Meal with Rachel Bell on a previous podcast episode. So
I did not know that. I've listened to like a bunch of the episodes, but I haven't listened to that episode.
Yeah, he's cool.
Another recommendation. yeah, it's a really just weird, interesting film. It's about a telemarketer who happens to be African-American, and he figures out that the best way to sort of sell the product that he's selling is to put on a quote-unquote white voice.
Right.
And it's just really hilarious, so weird.
Very weird,
really,
yeah.
Interesting.
Not conventional storytelling, from what
yeah,
I understand.
And, yeah, and the protagonist, the lead actor, again, I'm blanking on his name, but he's in the show Atlanta with Donald Glover. He plays Darius, who's one of the like friends of Donald Glover, and he's awesome in that, and he's even better in this. So that's really good. My other one is the album by the artist Maggie Rogers.
Okay.
She was made famous by that song Alaska, which came out a couple years ago. And her album is called, I should know it because I've been listening to it a bunch.
Isn't it hard to remember stuff now?
It is, like, especially I just right on the spot, you know?
It used to be.
It's hilarious that way.
You grab something or I see something on a shelf all the time. I get really familiar with the names of the people involved. And now you just consume media and I don't know what my favorite songs are even called anymore.
I know, because it's all so accessible is the problem. But it's called Heard It in a Past Life. And specifically, there's this song called Light On, which I find to be pretty great. I've got a little bit of it here.
Oh, yeah, that's what
I might want to play.
We'll sample. Yeah.
It's just like anthemic, and
yeah,
it's got,
I like that.
It's like it's the perfect amount of like alternative with some pop and a little bit of electronic
right.
in there.
Right.
Yeah, and she's just got a great voice, and she's really charismatic. I like watching her as well.
So I'm going to recommend a few things. One, better deodorant for myself because it's official. Let me end the suspense. It is broken down. I reek. I'm smelling myself in here, and it's a bad scene. So everybody, get good deodorant. Don't waste your time with the hippie stuff.
Yeah, no Tom's deodorant.
No,
none of that. None of that crap.
It's the hippie. I bought the hippie stuff, and it's failing me.
Give me the iron. Give me the bad stuff for
That's
my
right.
skin. That's what helps.
I want the aluminium, as they say across the pond. Here's a show that I found fascinating, and maybe it's because I'm really into production and behind the scenes and how things are put together and made, especially when it's high stress and a big event with many moving parts. And there's a series on Netflix called 7 Days Out, and it's the 7 days, the week leading up to a big event. Each episode, there's 6 episodes. Each one is a different event. The Westminster Dog Show, the Kentucky Derby. There's 11 Madison Avenue is a really famous restaurant, and NASA's Cassini mission. Now, I'm a little bit of a space nerd, but you get to see they launched the satellite Cassini, or this, yeah, I guess it's a satellite probe, and it orbited Saturn and checked out its moons, and it's been up there for decades, and we found all this cool information about it. And then it came time to be over with its mission. It was running out of fuel, so they had to crash it into Saturn so that it would burn up in the atmosphere. And just to follow all of the people they profile and over the decades, and it's a really cool look at what I think is a really amazing thing that people
yeah, and
did.
What an interesting concept for a show,
right?
Too that's
yeah.
really cool.
It's really well done. 7 Days Out is what it's called. You should all check it out. And then while you're on Netflix, watch the old Twilight Zone.
Ooh, definitely.
That show is remarkable.
It's, you know what's funny? It's like Black Mirror or something
yes,
like that.
It's
you
got
know?
A real strong Black Mirror vibe. Rod Serling like wrote most of those episodes too. It's just a great show. I can't recommend it enough. So that's it. That's it for us tonight. I would like to thank the whole crew, of course. David Burbank, Frank Shires, Rachel Bell, Nick Bowman, Dyer Oxley, Stacey Rost. It's a whole full show. And we will see you tomorrow right here on Cairo Nights, Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM.